weather, truth, and fun. We're iHub Radio, homegrown in the Coachella Valley. For a fresh take on the news with Anita Rufus, you won't know if you don't listen.
And thank you so much for tuning in. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. You are listening to iHub Radio. I'm here live on Saturdays from 10 to noon. And today is May 23rd. Yes, I celebrated my birthday last weekend after I did the show on Saturday. My birthday was on Sunday. I finally stopped crying all day long after the birthday was over. I had a great birthday. For the first time since we began sheltering at home, we got takeout. Oh, it was delicious. I don't like to cook anyway, so I'm sick of all of this. I want to start today not with the virus, although it is the pervasive reality of our lives right now, but I want to start by talking about the upcoming 2020 election. You know, we have an election coming in, what, 6 months? And given the reality of the virus and the difficulty in what it is we're trying to accomplish, you know, the president is totally frustrated because he can't do those rallies where he gets all that love coming from across the footlights. It's been turning out through this whole thing with the virus for the last 3 months that every time he does appear, his numbers go down. And one of the things that the Democrats have been very anxious to focus on is the danger of, even 6 months from now, of holding in-person elections. Because in Wisconsin, when they were required to do that there, people came down with the virus. Duh. But the president is absolutely convinced that vote by mail is fraud. And a lot of people think he is already trying to set up the argument, given that he and his campaign can see what the numbers are in the polls. They think that he is trying to set up the argument well in advance that if he loses, especially if there's a lot more vote by mail, it's because the election was rigged. Now, Wisconsin, where last month they did have an election. Governor tried to push it off, but the Republican legislature said, oh, no, 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 you got to hold it. Well, people showed up, and people came down with the virus as a result of standing in line with a whole bunch of other people. So now Michigan, and other states, by the way, that are controlled by Republican legislatures and governors, where Michigan has a Democratic governor. But in Michigan, what they did was they sent out to all registered voters an application for a vote by mail. If you want a ballot sent to your house, just let us know and we will send you a vote by mail ballot, which is exactly what they do here in California. Well, the president went nuts over that. And he said erroneously that that Michigan was sending out ballots to everybody, whether they had requested them or not, and that is not what they were doing. Now, Nevada, which has a Republican Secretary of State, and it is the Secretaries of State that control how voting is done in each state. Nevada has a Republican Secretary of State, and they've moved to an almost entirely vote-by-mail election. They're going to send ballots to every active registered voter. But you didn't hear the president trashing Nevada, because he sees that as a possible swing state. Now, he has said in the past, and unfortunately he got caught on video or tape saying this, that giving voters easy access to the ballot would threaten the chance of Republicans getting elected. And he is saying that those states that want to support vote by mail are encouraging voter fraud. No less than Chris Wallace on his Sunday Fox news program, no less than Chris Wallace shot down Trump's claims of mail-in voter fraud. And it's not the first time that somebody from Fox has said, you know, Trump is wrong about this or Trump is wrong about that. And Trump is going crazy. He now says he needs his own outlet because he's not being treated fair even by Fox. And the implication is Fox ought to be helping him get elected as if it were, in fact, state TV. He said it was much better when Roger Ailes was there. Well, may have been better, not for the women there anyway. But he's saying, in essence, Chris Wallace said, that the president is saying, in essence, you can't trust the U.S. mail. And he said, that strikes me as kind of a reach here. Chris Wallace went on to say, the history is that mail-in ballots are honest, and there's very little indication of fraud. When people get their ballots and mail them in themselves, there is no history of voter fraud at all in those circumstances. And among the reasons that Trump and the Republicans are getting a little nervous, aside from the fact that it was a Fox poll that showed that nationwide and in swing states, almost all of them, that Biden is well ahead of Trump, in spite of the fact that the Trump people keep describing Biden as sitting in his basement. In Massachusetts, two Democrats were declared the winners of a special election this past week, taking two Republican-held seats. So yes, it is true. The Republicans are getting nervous. In fact, they're nervous that, in fact, Democrats may even be able to take the Senate. Now, part of the reason that they may be nervous is because some of the candidates that are coming forward on the Republican side are actually getting shot down by the Republicans. In California, there's a candidate named Ted Howes, or Housie, who is running for Congress in the 10th Congressional District to represent the northern San Joaquin Valley. And he is running against a vulnerable freshman Democrat who just started serving, named Josh Harder. But there is this thing on the Republican Congressional Committee website called the Young Guns. And originally this Ted Housie was on that list. Well, guess what? They have taken him off. It turns out he's had a lot of social media posts in recent years that accuse prominent Democrats of murder and specifically demean Muslims. So the Republicans have pulled that guy off of their Young Guns website. Well, here's another one. In Oregon, a woman named Jo Ray Perkins won a Republican primary in Oregon. And she is a follower of this group called QAnon. You've seen some of them show up at Trump rallies holding up a Q on a sign. They believe that there is an international conspiracy of high-ranking government officials that are dedicated to kidnapping, abusing, torturing, and killing children. And they are the ones who led to that crazy thing in 2016 where some guy with a gun went in and took over a pizzeria because there was this rumor that Hillary Clinton was running a child sex trade organization in the basement of the pizza restaurant. It didn't even have a basement. But President Trump, in the worldview of these QAnon people, is working behind the scenes to expose and disrupt that conspiracy. But he's being thwarted by deep state bureaucrats and global elites, which, by the way, is veiled reference for Jews.
Because obviously Jews are the ones who control all the money worldwide. And if you believe that, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you.
So this Joe Ray Perkins has won this GOP primary in Oregon, and she is a QAnon follower. And in fact, she has made support of QAnon a central plank of her campaign. She said, most people play it a lot safer than I do. It's either pure genius or pure insanity. She said, I think there's probably a lot of us out there, but I just happen to be bold enough to say, hey, I'm following Q, because if the Q team is real, I want to know about it. And she compared believing in this QAnon to believing in Jesus Christ. It's a matter of faith, and it transcends proof. Now, she also said it's most likely military intelligence, and they've been out there watching what's been going on with our country for decades, and they're partnered with President Trump to stop the corruption and save our republic, because the QAnon followers believe that whoever Q is, it's an insider in the intelligence agencies. This is how crazy it's gotten with this president. That this is a woman who is now going to be on the ballot for the Republicans. Now, I want to say that this new Fox poll that came out is really startling. A Fox News poll. Voters trust Biden to do a better job than Trump on health care by 17 points. Because, of course, Trump has never put out a health care plan anyway. He just wants to get rid of what's already there. They trust Biden more than Trump by 9 points on the coronavirus. And they trust Biden by 6 points on our relations with China. Now, you know, the Trump people are trying to tie Biden to China in the most negative way possible. Trump is still trusted on the economy by a 3-point margin, but that's within the margin of error of the poll. Trump has a slight advantage if the debate is only about economic recovery, which is why Trump is pushing for the fastest possible reopening. But if the debate is about the virus or public health, that benefits Joe Biden. I have some thoughts about what's coming up in this 2020 election. And I have an idea for Joe Biden that he ought to be following. Right back.
From Palm Springs, she calls it as she sees it. Local talk that's moving the needle. Here's Anita Rufus on iHub Radio.
And again, I thank you so much for joining me on Saturdays. By the way, if you want to get in on the conversation, the phone number here is 760-544-8255. 760-544-8255. Or you can email studio@ihubradio.com, or you can even text a comment or a question to 760-699-0202. So I have this idea for something the Democrats ought to be talking about, because there's so much else going on with regard to this upcoming 2020 election. But what we need right now, and what the Democrats could absolutely champion, because this is not something that the Republicans are going to support, unfortunately, We need a WPA, which is what Franklin Roosevelt put in place at the time of the Depression to put people back to work. Look, just last week you had almost 2.5 million more workers file for unemployment. And even though businesses have begun opening, the 9-week total of people who have had to file for unemployment, and by the way, not everybody who lost a job can get unemployment, but the total for 9 weeks is more than 38 million people. This is no joke. As much as 20% of American workers are not working. Now, the Republicans are saying, well, we gave that extra boost to unemployment where people who maybe were only entitled to get $100 a week on unemployment, they're getting an extra $600 a week. So why would they want to go back to work? First of all, I got to say, that's a pretty damn cynical view of the people of this country, most of whom would rather be working than staying home. And with what we need so desperately in this country, for example, infrastructure, for example, the kinds of jobs that already people who are public employees, forest rangers, teachers, and not just teachers, but those who support teachers, teaching assistants, people who work specifically with children with disabilities. These are the jobs that are getting cut. Firefighters, police officers. Let's take the people who have lost their jobs, especially those who have lost jobs that aren't going to come back, and pay them at least a living wage. You know, maybe it's $12 an hour, maybe it's $15 an hour, maybe it depends on which state you live in or where you live and what the cost of living is. But pay them to go through retraining or to go through being put out there on the line and learning how to be a forest ranger or learning how to build a bridge. We need a WPA with job retraining for displaced workers. And that should be exactly what the Democrats run on in 2020. You want to make a real difference and get the votes of those working people who thought Donald Trump was going to be their lifeline? Because after all, he said he cares so much about them. Although, as Howard Stern is famous for saying, Trump wouldn't let those people into one of his hotels. Now, there's another twist that I want to talk to you about. Joe Biden, who has been, he's the apparent nominee of the Democrats, and he's been fairly quiet since he began sheltering at home in March, which is now 2 months that he's been trying to campaign from his basement. But he has been spending his time kind of reaffirming his support from liberal Democrats who he needs on his side, the people who were supporting Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. And he has made some public statements, although he is not explosive the way Donald Trump is to capture a news cycle. But he's been putting together groups of advisors on various issues so that he would be ready to hit the ground running if he were elected president. For example, he has a climate committee, and it has a lot of progressive people on it. The co-chairs are Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is the youngest and perhaps the most high-profile progressive in the House of Representatives. And she is co-chair of this climate committee with John Kerry, the former Secretary of State. The Biden campaign is raising money because they need to be competitive. And then, of course, there's a couple of gaffes and one big issue which has not yet been resolved, and her name is Tara Reid. I want to tell you about what seems to be a big twist in that story. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal, and you are listening to iHub Radio.
Weather and a couple of dozen loudmouths. This is iHub Radio. She calls it as she sees it. Now, here's Anita Rufus.
So I want to share something with you that blew me away this week. I always suspected this, but I never knew it for sure. Do you know who Norma McCorvey is? She was the original Jane Roe, the unnamed anonymous person who sued Wade. Wade was the district attorney, I think, for Dallas County or something like that. And the original case of Roe versus Wade was about whether or not Jane Roe had the right to choose to have an abortion for an unwanted pregnancy. Now, as it turns out, she never had that abortion because the case dragged on for so long, but it did ultimately go to the Supreme Court. And, you know, that lawsuit was a huge victory for women who wanted the right to control their own bodies. Prior to that, and I was there at the time, I was one of the people who was supporting getting this changed because I myself had had an unplanned pregnancy when I was 17 years old and had to get an illegal abortion because Roe versus Wade hadn't even passed at that time. And it was horrible. But not nearly as horrible as it would have been to have had a child at that age and not been able to take care of that child and not been able to make a life for myself, because in those days, you just couldn't. Well, Norma McCorvey came out against abortion in 1995 and stunned the world. And for the remainder of her life, she essentially seemed to be working to overturn Roe versus Wade. Well, now it turns out there's an FX documentary called AKA Jane Roe, also known as Jane Roe, a deathbed confession. Where she says she only did that because she was paid by anti-abortion groups. She said, I took their money and they'd put me out in front of the cameras and tell me what to say. This she describes as a deathbed confession. And in the documentary, she is clearly not well, and restates her support for reproductive rights. She says, if a young woman wants to have an abortion, that's no skin off my ass. That's why they call it choice. So now we know, if we can believe a deathbed confession, now we know what we thought at the time might be the case, that Norma McCorvey's conversion after having been born again in the Christian church and coming out as saying she really wasn't in favor of abortion, now we know that that just wasn't true. Well, guess what? The name Tara Reid ring a bell? Tara Reid is the woman who has accused Joe Biden of sexual assault 27 years ago. Well, now it turns out that there's even more coming out about Tara Reid that makes me think she may be another Norma McCorvey. And I don't want to put down Tara Reid for having been willing to take the flack of saying that she was sexually abused. But so far, she has been able to provide no real proof. She says she filed a complaint at the time, but nobody seems to be able to find where that complaint is or whether it was actually ever filed or what it said. Her own brother said she confided in him that something had happened. But originally, he said it was just that she had been kind of sexual harassment victim. Then he changed his story and said, well, no, you know, it was really that she had been sexually assaulted. Well, guess what? Tara Reid has evidently been making allegations about her own career after she left the Biden staff way back when in the Senate. And supposedly, she received a degree from Antioch University, and she has been testifying as an expert witness in several court cases as a result of this degree that she received from Antioch that gave her the credibility to appear as an expert witness in some trials. Well, now Antioch University is saying she didn't receive that degree. She's been lying about this degree that made her able to be an expert witness. And that opens up another whole can of worms, because the trials at which she was an expert witness might now be able to be reopened if it was her testimony that got a jury to believe that the person should be convicted. In addition to that, the attorney who has been representing Tara Reid in this matter against the former vice president, Douglas Wigdor is his name, he and his firm have now dropped their representation of Tara Reid. Now, this is an attorney who has taken on Fox News. He went after Bill O'Reilly and Harvey Weinstein for sexual harassment. And he is also a staunch conservative and a supporter of President Trump. So you can't put the attorney in any particular box. And he did not provide a reason behind his law firm's decision to no longer represent Tara Reid. But this is another one of those things where I'm just asking, given the timing of her coming out with this claim of sexual assault against Joe Biden right before an election, and given, in my mind, the absolute irony that she would be accusing Joe Biden of doing to her exactly what Donald Trump admitted to doing, that he said he could get away with because he was a celebrity, grabbing women's private parts. And that's what Tara Reid is claiming Joe Biden did to her 27 years ago. The irony of all of that just puts my mind on tilt. Now, I am not saying that Joe Biden is a saint. He's not. He's been a politician since he was, what, in his 20s or something. He knows how to be a politician. And he has always come across, on a personal level, as a decent human being. But he made a statement this week that is just ridiculous. He was on a morning radio show called The Breakfast Club with Charlemagne the God. And this is a black radio host who is a real hoot. He's kind of like the black version of Howard Stern. And Trump went on that, Biden went on that show. And at one point, somebody made the comment that they were a supporter of Donald Trump, or that they were having trouble deciding between supporting Trump and supporting Biden. And Biden said, well, if you can't decide whether to vote for me or President Trump, you just ain't black. Now, saying that to a person who is black, that's kind of outrageous. And coming from Joe Biden, and it was obviously, if you heard the comment and heard the discussion, which I did, it was said in almost a humorous way. But nevertheless, it's just another one of those blurps that Joe Biden commits from time to time because he doesn't self-censor. Of course, the Trump campaign immediately came out and said that Biden's comment was racist and dehumanizing. And the irony of that is that Donald Trump is the one who said that the people demonstrating at Charlottesville and those just more recently who were out there demanding that government open and that nobody had to wear masks and how dare you infringe on their freedom were carrying, unfortunately, Confederate flags or even swastikas. And the president described them as very fine people. So the irony of this is just staggering. Biden said, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black. And, you know, there is blowback coming from black Republicans because there are such thing as black Republicans. Very often people who are totally focused on the idea of the economy being the primary thing that that rules their vote. Now, of course, Trump loves to put labels on everybody, and the Trump campaign is now going to spend $1 million on an ad campaign to highlight the fact that obviously Joe Biden is racist. By the way, Joe Biden immediately realized he had made a mistake and apologized and said that his remarks were way too cavalier. In other words, way too colloquial, way too as if he and Charlemagne the God had a different kind of relationship. And the truth is, if you look at most of what Biden has stood for over the years, he has been a friend to minority communities. He has been a supporter of women. Joe Biden is almost singularly responsible for the Violence Against Women Act ever having gotten passed. But Trump says, well, I'm not running against sleepy Joe Biden. He's not even a factor. Remember 1% Joe? And Trump was referring there to Biden's past White House campaigns that just didn't get much support. I'm running against the radical left do-nothing Democrats and their partner, the real opposition party, the lamestream fake news media. They're vicious and crazy, but we will win. If Trump doesn't get out to a rally soon and get all that love coming over the threshold, I think he's just going to keep getting more and more crazy. And now his son, Trump Jr., has been circulating the rumor that Joe Biden is a pedophile. This is how desperate these people are. Now it's not just Sleepy Joe. Now they're calling him Creepy Joe. Really? Thank you.
because you only think you know the truth. Striking blows against the corporate talk radio monolith in the Coachella Valley. iHub Radio. Participation encouraged, but not required. Here's Anita Rufus.
Now, I want to make a quick point about, you know, there's always been a lot of talk about the fact that Joe Biden has a lot of, you know, verbal fluffs. Although saying you're not black, that's not exactly a verbal fluff, but he has a lot of verbal fluffs. And part of the reason for that, and we are aware of this if we follow this at all, is because Joe Biden has had a stuttering problem since he was a kid. And people who stutter, especially someone who goes into public life, there are techniques that they learn to be able to speak effectively. Among those are things like there are certain words that start with certain letters where you learn that those are words you will stutter on. Very often it's a hard consonant. So if I wanted to say, I think that's true. Knowing that I might stutter on the word true, in my mind, and this is how people who stutter learn to communicate. In my mind, knowing that I want to say the word true before I get there, I would try and figure out, is there a way for me to substitute another word? And I might say, well, is that honest? And I would stumble a little bit in order to get there. This is what Joe Biden does. Now, does he also make some really goofy goofs? Sure. Does he still use language that is, you know, stuck in living up in New England and coming from a different generation? Sure. But the idea that Donald Trump would make fun of the way Joe Biden talks is truly absurd. When Donald Trump was asked this week about testing or why he wasn't wearing a mask at a mask factory, he said he had been tested that morning, and he said, I tested very positively in another sense. So this morning, yeah, I tested positively toward the negative, right? So no, I tested perfectly this morning. I mean, I tested negative, but that's a way of saying it, positively toward the negative. What? And there was a great article that came out recently about, is this any way to run a government? He's worrying about his reelection and how the news media is portraying him. But there are days when Trump arrives in the Oval Office as late as noon. He's usually in a sour mood after watching television all morning. He gets up at about 5 a.m. and he only sleeps a few hours a night, which is part of the reason I think he's a little unhinged. We need our rest, folks. But he gets up as early as 5 a.m. in the White House master bedroom, watching Fox News, then CNN, then a little of MSNBC thrown in. He makes calls with the TV on in the background. He sees few of his allies, no matter which channel he clicks. He's even angry now with Fox. And right now, because of the virus, he's isolated from the supporters and visitors and travel and golf that once kept him busy and entertained. Is this any way to run a White House? We had the story come out this week about how his intelligence briefings, they have to keep trying to find ways to interest him in the intelligence briefings, because he doesn't read them, and his attention span is very short. But when it comes to Barack Obama, boy, does he have an attention span. The president clearly has such an inferiority complex when it comes to Barack Obama, who is still considered one of the most popular presidents ever in our history. And there's a mix of reasons that are posited for why the president has this obsession with Obama. Observers who have looked at this and analyzed it and written about it say it's a mix of anti-intellectualism, racism, vengeance, and primitive envy over everything from the Nobel Peace Prize that Obama got to the size of his inauguration crowd and to his social media following. Ben Rhodes, who is a former Obama national security aide, said Trump's fact-free fixation on Obama dating back to birtherism is so absurd and stupid that it would be comic if it wasn't so tragic. And now Trump has come up with Obamagate. He's very good at finding little, easy, short ways to say over and over and over again something he can at least remember and that people can parrot. So now it's that Obama was trying to destroy Trump's presidency before Trump was even inaugurated. And the truth is a whole different story. And all of this comes back to Mike Flynn and the fact that the Obama administration, before Trump took office, the Obama administration was aware of concerns about Mike Flynn and his relationship to the Russians in particular and his representation of Turkey, that they actually warned Donald Trump before he came in. Obama himself, in the meeting when Trump came to the Oval Office, Obama himself told Trump to be cautious about Mike Flynn, who Obama then, Trump then immediately appointed as his national security advisor. Because if Obama said to be careful, well, then clearly he had to do the opposite. Now he's pushing Mitch McConnell to investigate Obama. And no less than Bill Barr said the Justice Department won't be used for political purposes, including investigating both Obama and Biden about this whole deep state plot, which is, of course, exactly what the president wanted to have happen. So I'll share quickly with you. You know, my love of language and the use of words. In the LA Times, a columnist named Virginia Heffernan, she said, with the presidential election coming in November, it's time for the Willie Hortoning, swift boating, pizza gating, and birthering that passes for wizardry among the Republican sweat hogs. Trump has been rehearsing at least one vapor word that he hopes will do the trick, Obamagate. And her response is Malarkeygate, which is one of those words that Biden likes to use. She says the high-skilled hacking that the Kremlin is now trying to do to rig our voting machines will dovetail nicely with classic Republican dirty tricks.